Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin today's shiur 15 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Lamed Hey at the end of the line. You will notice that we're picking up from a point at after which a framed section had appeared. We have been darshaning, we have been expounding on the word in the Pasuk Orloso. We saw at the end of our last year a series of droshes, Orloso Vadai, Deiches Shabbos, a definite case of circumcision is that which is capable of superseding Shabbos, to the exclusion of a number of other situations which the source enumerated are not Doche Shabbos. And the source included androgynous, a child born Bein Hashmoshos, and a child that was born Mohel, appearing to be already without its foreskin, without its orla. Omar Mar. Here we have a quote from the source, and the arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text can be aligned with the arrow at the top line where you see this quote coming from. The source said, based on the posuk, orloso vale velo sofek doiche es haShabbos. Sofek is doubt. Doubt, a doubtful situation, does not supersede Shabbos. The Gemara asks, Lasuimai, this phrase, velo sofek, is coming to include what case? The reason for this question is because the source itself enumerates all kinds of cases of doubt. An androgynous whose gender is not clear, the nola ben hashmoshes whose time of birth is not clear. All these are examples of suffix. So what is included by the phrase velo suffix doiche, which was not already spelled out in the source? So the Gemara answers, lasui ha detan rabbanan. We're coming to include the following case. Ben Shiva Mechalas HaShabbos. A child that's born after a 7-month, or we'll say in its 7th month, that's considered in the realm of normalcy, and therefore its 8th day will be the day of its circumcision, even if it comes out on a Shabbos. Ben Shmoina, however, the child that is born during its 8th month of pregnancy, Ein Mechalan Olav Es HaShabbos. That kind of child we will not circumcise on Shabbos. Rashi explains, because the 8th month birth is viewed as if it's dead. It's considered like a mace. In other words, the perception is that children born in their 8th month will not survive. And therefore, the circumcision of such a child is not a mitzvah. Therefore, we can't violate Shabbos for that. We continue in the Gemara. Sofek ben Zayin, Sofek ben Shmoina, Ein Mechal of the Shabbos. And here we have the case of Sofek that we were looking for before. If it's a doubt as to whether the child is a 7th or 8th month birth, we will not violate Shabbos for his circumcision. Ben Shmoina, Harehu Ke'evin. A child born in its 8th month is like a stone. V'osu l'taltalo, and therefore on Shabbos you cannot carry it around. You can't move it. Avol imoy shoyche umenikosoy. The mother bends over to the child, and the child will suckle from the mother. V'pnei hasakona, because of the danger to the mother to have an oversupply of milk in her system, so as to prevent the sakona, the danger, the danger that that poses to the mother, we allow her to bend over. No, note, we don't allow her to pick up the child. It's an 8-month birth. We don't allow her to pick it up on Shabbos, but for her own welfare, we allow her to have the child suckle from her. The Gemara continues in the topic of nolad mohul, child born, already circumcised, or more accurately, a child born lacking its orla, its foreskin. Itmar Rav Omar Alocha Kitanakama. Rav says Alocha will follow the Tanakama's version of Beis Hillel, which means there's no need for Hatofas Dam Bris, for the drawing of blood. We spoke about this in our last year in the Tanaic source, which spoke about Lahatif Mimenu Dam Bris, the issue of drawing blood from an already circumcised child. Ushmuel Omar Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar. Shmuel rules like Shmuel Elazar that it requires a child who's born already mohul requires hatofas dam bris, this drawing of the blood. Rav Ado Bar Avo Isyalid Le Hahu Yenuka K'shu Mohul. Rav Ado had a child born to him already mohul. Ahadre Atlesa Mahuloi, and he brought the child to 13 different moyalim, or circumcisers, and they didn't want to do the Hatofas Dam Bris to him on Shabbos. So Rav Ada had a Noilad Mohul that was born to him on a Shabbos. 8 days later, he brought the child to 13 different moyalim for them to do that, and you know what? No, all of them refused to do it because of it being Shabbos. And Rashi points out, even according to Beis Shammai, that a Nolad Mohul is a Sofek, nevertheless, it's, or that, even according to Beis Shammai, that requires Hatovas Dam Bris, nevertheless, it's at best a Sofek case, and therefore you're not to Mechalo Shabbos. So Rav Ada, getting frustrated, we'll say, by none of them doing the Atovas Bambris, he did it himself. However, he wasn't an expert. Adishavi Krushofli made his own son into an impotent individual, which is known as a Krus Shofcha. Omar, and then he, realizing what happened, he says, Tasili, I had this coming to me, the Avri Adarav. I violated Rav. Rav said there is no need for Hatofas Dam Bris. Omar Le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman asks Rav Ado, the Adi Shmuel Lovar, what, and you didn't violate Shmuel? Hey, Mardomar Shmuel Bechol. Shmuel, who ruled that you need to have Hatofas Dam Bris, that is true as far as a weekday is concerned. But Shabbos, mi Omar, did Shmuel say that you would do the Hatofas Dam Bris even on a Shabbos? After all, it's a Suffolk Orla Kavusha. There might be an Orla there, and it's compressed. Maybe there's no Orla whatsoever. So why does Rav Ado say that he is only violating Rav when Shmuel would not have allowed Hatovas Dam Bris on Shabbos either? The Hu Savar, Rav Ado, is of the opinion Vadai Orla Kavusha Hi. It's not a matter of doubt. There is definitely an orla there. And as a result of that, the Hatofas Dam Bris is something that is, as far as he is concerned, as far as his understanding of Shmuel, that is, that when Shmuel says you need to have a Hatofas Dam Bris, it's not from a Sofek standpoint, but Shmuel's ruling was from a definite standpoint. So as far as Shmuel is concerned, as far as Rav Ado's perception of things, is that Hatovas Dam Bris would have been done, according to Shmuel, even on Shabbos. The Itmar, and this topic continues. Rabba Omar, Chayshinon Shem Orla Kavushi, Rav Yosef Omar, Vade Orla Kavushi. Regarding the Nolad Mohul, Rabba says that it might be an indication of a compressed Orla, and Rav Yosef says there is definitely an orla, it just is compressed and tightly adhering to the flesh. Omar Rav Yosef Mino Amino Lo. Now here we are starting a long point, as our marking indicates. Rav Yosef says, from where do I know that it's a definite, there is definitely an orla present, it's just kvusha. Disanya, we have a Tanaic source. Now, this Tanaic source features Rabbi Elazar HaKapor. The Gemara will point out, following the source, that there is a Tana that precedes him that would disagree with what Rabbi Elazar HaKapor says, and it's from this, we'll say, inference that Rav Yosef concludes his conclusion. So let's see what Rabbi Elazar HaKapor says. Desan Rabbi Elazar HaKapor Omer, Lo nechluku beishamayu beisilel al nolad shumol shesorch levatav menu damris. Beisham beisil are in agreement that a nolad mol requires hatov, the drawing of blood from that area. Alma nechluku, so what do beisham beisil argue about? Lechalel alav es haShabbos, is one entitled to violate Shabbos for this hatovas damris? Beishamai omrim mechalel alav es haShabbos, that you do the hatovas damris even on a Shabbos. Ubeisil omrim ein mechalel alav es haShabbos. And Beisil is of the opinion that even though on a weekday you would have to do hatovas damris, you're not allowed to violate Shabbos for that purpose. So this is Rabbi Elazar HaKapor's version. Lav Michlal, should we not infer the Tanakama Savar, the Tanakama would hold Michalin Olav Es HaShabbos. Whereas Rabbi Elazar HaKapor presents Beis Hillel as saying, whereas Rabbi Elazar HaKapor presents Beis Shammai as saying Michalin as Shabbos, and Beis Hillel says no, the Tanakama would say everyone says Michalin Olav as a Shabbos. The Gemara asks V'dilma Hochi. Now, but before we go on, how does Rav Yosef know that the Nolad Mohul is Vadai Orla Kvusha? So it's from this inference that we just saw, that if Rabbi Elazar HaKapor is saying that there's an argument regarding Chilul Shabbos, the Tanakama holds everyone says you're Mechalel Shabbos. Now, for everyone to say you're Mechalel Shabbos, it's then obvious that there is an Orla there. There's a foreskin, it's just compressed. The Gemara asks, V'dilma Tanakama Divrei HaKol Ein Michalin Ko'omar. As far as Rabbi Elazar HaKapor is concerned, as a serving as a basis for figuring out what the Tanakama says, you could go this way too. The Rabbi Elazar HaKapor points out that there's a machlokus concerning Chilul Shabbos. The Tanakama, who would disagree with Rabbi Elazar HaKapor, might very well say that everyone holds Ein Mechalalin. That would also be a reasonable inference. And if you take that approach, that everyone holds you're not Mechalal Shabbos, so then Rav Yosef will lose his basis, his proof, that the Nolad Mol is a Vale Orlo Kavusha, because if everyone is saying you're not allowed a Mechalal Shabbos, it's an indication that there's no real Orla present. Well, Rav Yosef answers, Im Kain, if that's the approach, namely that Tanakama would say everyone holds you not Mechalal, then what is Rabbi Elazar HaKapor coming to reveal to us? What change is Rabbi Elazar HaKapor making? Well then, all he is coming to say, he's reporting that Beis Shammai would tell you you are Mechalal Shabbos. But it's very odd that someone would come to tell me that. Im Kain, if as your question on me indicates, then im kain Reb Elozar HaKapor taimo de Beis Shammai al slash minin. Then Reb Elozar HaKapor is coming to mechadesh to us Beis Shammai Shita, his view of Beis Shammai Shita. And that's odd that someone would go out of his way to report Beis Shammai's opinion. After all, Beis Shammai is viewed as a as non halacha, if you will. That Beis Shammai b'mokum Beis Hillel es hilchisa. It's considered like of, not to sound disrespectful, but it's considered insignificant. And therefore, if someone is coming to tell me a chiddush, it would not be a chiddush concerning shitas Beis Shammai. So, therefore, Rav Yosef says, my approach is more more likely that the Tana Kama is telling me everyone holds you are Mechalel Shabbos. And then we would understand Rav Elozar HaKapor is telling me a Chiddush in Beis Hillel who says no, ain Mechalel as a Shabbos. But as far as Rav Yosef's purpose is concerned, the Tana Kama is telling me everyone holds your Mechalel Shabbos. That would show me that the Nolad Mol is a Orla Kavusha Vadai. A definite Orla is there. The Gemara responds with a rejection. Dilma Hochi Ka'omar. Maybe what the Tana Kama is trying to tell me is Loi Nechliku Beis Shammai Ubeis Hillel B'davar Zeh. Maybe what the Tana Kama's purpose is, everyone holds you're not Mechalel Shabbos, and Reb Elozar HaKapor is telling me there is a machlokas about that, and in that sense he is telling me about Beis Hillel. Let's take a look at Rashi on this point. We have a double star, you can see in the Rashi toward the lower part of the Rashi commentary. Umishaninon Dilma Hochi Komer Elozar LaTanakama Diomar. The Tanakama said B'Shabbos Nivrakol Ein Mechalin. And this, by the way, is not good for Rav Yosef. The Tanakama is in fact telling us that everyone holds you not Mechalel Ubuklai B'Chol, and their Machlokes B'Shabbos Hillel is during the weekdays. That namely that again, according to the Tanakama, everyone holds that you're not Mechalel Shabbos for it, and there's a machlokas regarding the weekdays. De la Beis Hillel ein tzorach lahatif mimenu dam bris. And as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, according to the Tana Kama, you would not have to do hatofas dam bris. So on this, ha lesa. The Reb Elozar HaKapor is saying that is not true. De lo nechliku b'dover zeh. Regarding what you, the Tana Kama, are saying, there is no machlokes. In other words, you, Tana Kama, are saying there is no machlokes. You, the Tana Kama, are saying, or there is a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether there's a need for Hatovas Dam Bris during the weekdays. I want you to know, no. The lo nechliku b'dover zeh ala vaday tzorach, there is a definite need for Hatovas Dam Bris, namely, even according to Beis Hillel. So Reb Elozar HaKapor is telling me a chiddush in Beis Hillel, whereas the Tana Kama said Beis Hillel says no need for Hatovas Dam Bris. Reb Elozar HaKapor says Beis Hillel says there is a need for Hatovas Dam Bris. U'b'Shabbos hu depligi, the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel concerns the doing of the Hatovas Dam Bris on Shabbos. The time of Beis Hillel slash Minan. But Reb Elozar HaKapor's purpose is in telling me Beis Hillel, the Bechol Tzorach, that on the weekday, Beis Hillel requires Hatovas Dam Bris. Ulafuke mitana kama, the Amar Beis Hillel lo Tzorach, to the exclusion of the Tana Kama that says, as far as Beis Hillel is concerned, there is no need for Hatovas Dam Bris. So as we look at this Gemara and we notice the give and take structure of the Gemara, Rav Yosef's basis for concluding that the Nolad Mol is a Vade Orla Kavusha, that is left, we'll say, weakened, because the Gemara rejects the basis for Rav Yosef's reasoning. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading, Rav Asi, Kol She'imo Tameo Leido Nimo Lishmoina. You'll notice that Rav Asi is marked with a firebox. It's a rare marking in Gemara markings, but it shows that we're now presenting a sheet, an opinion that will keep us busy, keep us occupied for quite a while of Gemara, for an omid of Gemara. So, Omar Rav Asi, Kol She'imo Tameo Leida. A mother who, as a result of her birth, she becomes Tameo as a Yoledes. The Torah features this phenomenon in the Sefer Vayikra. A woman who gives birth to a male child is Tameo for 7 days. She gives birth to a female, which is of no concern to us right now because we're dealing with circumcision, but the Torah says a female birth results in a 14-day tumah period. So Rav Asi says a rule. Women who, as a result of their childbirth, become tameos, so the boy that's born, will be circumcised on the 8th day. Women who do not experience tumas leida, and there are cases like that. An example offhand would be a woman who delivers through a cesarean section. That is not a woman that becomes tumas leida, according to most deos. So anyone who is not tumas leida, so she will not, the child is not circumcised on the 8th day, ain nimo lishmoina, but rather he is nimo immediately. Shinamar, the pasuk says, Isho ki sazria, v'yolda zohar, v'tom'o, v'chule, v'tom'o, the pasuk says, v'tom'o shivas yomim, she's tmei for 7 days, v'yoma shmini, yimo besar olaso, and on the 8th day, the circumcision takes place. So you have a relationship between her being tmei, and an 8th day circumcision. The Rashi on Kol She'ein Imo Tamei Aleda Kigon Yotze Doifen, like a cesarean birth, V'nochris Shiolda, a Gentile woman who gave birth, U'mochrin is Gaira, and the next day she converts to Judaism, Ein B'no Mamtin Ad Shmoina L'Nimo Miyad. The child is not, we don't wait till the 8th day, but rather is circumcised immediately. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a structural note. You'll notice we have a trapezoid form that appears in opposite directions as we continue. And on the side of the Gemara, we feature this under the Mivneh with the narrow part of the trapezoid or volcano shape, as we fondly refer to it. When it's facing, the narrow is facing up, those are kushios, questions, and when it flips over, these are responses. So the Gemara continues, Omarle Abaye. Abaye addresses Rav Asi and says, Doros Orishonim Yochifu. The early generations, meaning from Avram Avinu till the giving of the Torah, that will prove to the contrary. She'enimo Tumea Leda. There was no Tumas Leda until the giving of the Torah. And yet, Venimo Lishmona. We see when you read the Parsha in the Torah regarding Avram Avinu and the Bris Milah, we know that Yitzchak, for example, was circumcised on the 8th day. So we see 8th day circumcision even without Tumas Leida. Omar Le, Rav Asi responds, Nitno Torah v'nischad sho halacha. We're at the top of Omid Beis, that when the Torah was given, so the halacha was Halacha was given a new, renewed, if you will, stating that when the mother is Tamei Leida, then Milo takes place on the 8th day. If the mother is not Tamei Leida, so the Milo will take place immediately. The Gemara asks, and you'll notice we have a long question marking here. Eini, is that so? V'ho itmar, it has been taught, Yotze Doifen, a cesarean birth. Umi shiesh lo shtei arlos, or a child that has a double foreskin. Rav Uno v'Rav Chiyo barav, chalomar mechala v'shabes. One says there is mila to be done on Shabbos. V'chad omar ein mechalin. The other says there is no violation of Shabbos for their circumcision. Ad kan lo pligi elo lechalos haShabbos. The machlokis is whether the child is worthy to have Shabbos violated for his circumcision. Avol ishmoina v'aray mehalinon lei. But as far as eighth day is concerned, there is definitely going to be circumcision, including the case of the Yotze Doifen, which we know the mother is not Temea Leida. That is our question on Ravasi. Let's go over the question again. In this discussion, we're making an assumption that everyone will agree that that the circumcision is on the eighth day. And we are talking about a Yotze Doifen amongst others, and a Yotze Doifen as a cesarean birth where the mother is not Temea Leida. So you have an example of a non-Temea Leida and circumcision on the eighth day. That's against Ravasi. Ravasi answers, Ha b'ha talya. One is dependent on the other. This issue of Mechalin Olavas HaShabbos, you will Mechal Shabbos only if it's an eighth day circumcision. So that when you see someone saying here Ein Mechalin, that's an indication of the circumcision not taking place on the eighth day. So let us look at the Rashi on the fourth line from the top. Ha b'hot the chilul Shabbos tolui, the issue of am I going to violate Shabbos tolui b'mila l'shmoina. It's dependent on the issue of an eighth day circumcision. Someone who would be circumcised on the eighth day, there we will violate Shabbos. Someone who is not circumcised on the eighth day, eino doiche haShabbos. There will be no Shabbos violation. When the Torah writes, "Uvayom Hashmini Yimol Basar Losei." The Alfinon Mine the Afilu B'Shabbos. From that, Uvayom Hashmini, we learn even on Shabbos. But Nimo L'Shmoy Nekziv, it's talking about the eighth day. So the Gemara's, the question that had been based on an inference that everyone would be in agreement that the circumcision of these would be the Yotze Doifen, the Mishyesh Shtei Arlos, everyone would agree that the circumcision is on the eighth day, so Ravasi rejects that. Not so. In fact, there is a machloikis about that, and we have to acknowledge an opinion that says you're not Mechalal Shabbos for them, which indicates that the Mila will not be on its eighth day, which reflects my opinion that only for women that have Tumas Leida would there be an eighth day circumcision. A Yotze Doifen, the woman is not Temea Leida, therefore it's not going to be circumcised on the eighth day. And as a result of that, there the opinion arises that you would not violate Shabbos for him either. The Gemara continues with a very long point, and that's also indicated by our long point marking. Ketanoi. What is that a reference to? What Rav Asi taught, we will see, is a machlokes tanoim. Rav Asi mentioned that there is a relationship between Tumas Leida and eighth day circumcision. Before we go ahead in the Gemara, we have on the side a tatnusei, a subtopic. The Gemara here will introduce concepts of a yelid bias and miknas kesef. Literally, yelid bias is a case of a child born into someone's household. We will see later that, and Rashi points this out, that the concept of Yelid Bayis is a child that was conceived in a Jewish household. We'll see more in the Gemara about this. We're dealing with women who were purchased as shvachos, as slaves, and as such, they are the laws of circumcision govern them as well, the children that they bear. The Emiknas Kesef is a reference to someone that is, it involves purchasing. However, the conception is not in the Jewish household per se. So we're dealing with these two topics called Yelid Bayis and a Miknas Kesef. Nimolin Le'echol Ushmona. We'll see different cases of, in some situations, the circumcision of the children will be on the first day, and in some cases, the circumcision will be on the eighth day. We can say in a general fashion that the more closely the birth situation will resemble a Jewish birth, the tendency will then be to have an eighth day circumcision. That's a very general type statement. Let's see the source. So we say, Ketanoi Rav Asi's din will appear to be a machlokes tanoyim. The source opens up with four cases and then analyzes or spells out the cases in, we'll call, reverse order as we go through the whole source. So it opens up, Yesh Yelid Bayis Shenimo Le'echod. There's an example of a Yelid Bayis that is circumcised after on its first day. V'yesh Yelid Bayis Shenimo L'shmoina. There's a case of a Yelid Bayis that is circumcised on its eighth day. Yesh Miknas Kesef Shenimo L'echod. V'yesh Miknas Kesef Shenimo L'shmoina. All of this information is based on psukim. Rashi quotes the relevant psukim. You can look into Rashi to see the actual psukim. For our purposes, we will continue in the source and the examples are spelled out. The numbering that you see, we listed them 1 through 4. We're now going to go back to each case using the same numbering. And this is now Yesh, this is number 3, so it's case 3. Yesh Miknas Kesef Shenimo Le'echod, and case 4, V'yesh Miknas Kesef Shenimo Le'shmoina. Ketzad, how are we to explain or present them? What are the cases? So notice the numbering, how things are very jumbled up, and if not for the markings, it would be very hard to follow which case is being explained. So we're now going to explain the fourth case of a Miknas Kesef that's circumcised on the eighth day. Ketzad, how is that? Lokach Shivcha Muberes. A person bought a Shivcha. We'll just say she's at the point he purchases her, she's not Jewish. So he just buys a shivcha, a slave woman that is pregnant. The achar kach yolda, and after he bought her, so she gives birth to a child, a male child. Zehu miknas kesef animo lishmoina. That's an example of a purchase resulting in an eighth day circumcision. Lokach shivcha uvloda ima, a person who bought a slave woman with a child already born, zu he miknas kesef shenimo le'echad. In that case, so the child didn't experience its birth in the Jewish owner's household. It was born before he got to the owner. Therefore, there's no din of eighth day circumcision, so it's circumcised immediately. There is a basic assumption that we are working with here, and that is that a person who owns slaves, they too must be circumcised. The Gemara continues, V'yesh Yelid Bayis. Now, here we're going to the topic of Yelid. V'yesh Yelid Bayis Shenimo L'shmoina. The Yelid Bayis situation that is circumcised on the eighth day, Ketzad. Lokach Shivcha a person bought a slave woman, finis abro etzlo, and she became pregnant in his domain, violda, and then gave birth. In other words, a person bought a slave woman, and he happened to own other slaves. They mated and produced a child, all in his ownership, the Jewish owner. The child is circumcised on the eighth day. Zehu yilid bayis hanimo lishmoina. As far as this source is concerned, we have the Tana Kama. Shortly, you see Rav Chama, he follows immediately. Up till now, the Tana Kama has explained three of the four cases. And you can see our diamonds will rapidly reveal that information. The case that the Tana Kama did not address, as of yet, he did not address the case of Yilid Bayis, that's Nimol Le'echod. Rav Chama Omer. Rav Chama speaks about a person who bought a slave woman, and she became pregnant in his domain. Rav Chama Omer, Yolda V'achar Kach Itbila, if she gave birth, and only afterwards did he subject the mother to Tvila. In other words, he bought a heathen slave woman, and she first gave birth, and then he exposed her to Tvila. Is an act, we'll call it an act of conversion into slavehood. So, in this case, Zehu Yilid Bayis Shenimo Le'echad. That's a case of Yilid Bayis. Notice, she was purchased, and after the purchase, she became impregnated in the Jewish owner's domain. So she's therefore classified as Yilid Bayis. However, when she gave birth, she wasn't technically considered a shivcha. I don't want to say a Jewish shivcha, that's almost a contradiction in terms, but it's a shivcha having undergone shivcha conversion. So she was pre-shivcha conversion, and therefore there is no, and we should point out, there's no tumas leida, and as a result of the non-tumas leida, there is immediate circumcision. Does that not remind you of Rav Asi? Continuing, hitbila v'achar kach yolda, he purchased a shivcha, and he converted her to shivcha status through immersion in a mikveh, and after that she gave birth. In such a case, there will be tumas leida. Zehu yilid bayis hanimo lishmona. That is a case of a yilid bayis where there is an eighth day circumcision. That is like Rav Asi. So the Rav Chama presents a model where the eighth day circumcision is associated with the mother's experiencing tumas leida. V'tanakamo lo shoni lei bein hitbila v'achach yolda bein yolda v'achachach hitbila. The Tanakama makes no distinction, including the case of she first gives birth and then she is immersed. The afagav the ein imo tmeo leida, even though the mother is not tmeo leida, nimol lishmoina. There is an eighth day. In both cases, there is an eighth day circumcision. So, when we opened up our, this is the end of the long point. What was the point of the long point? That Rav Asi's din is a machloikis tanoim. Rav Asi said that eighth day circumcision is interdependent on mothers experiencing tumas leida. As far as tanoim are concerned, Rav Chama shares that opinion. The Tanakama, though, makes no distinction, and rather all cases of Yilid bias, you know, all cases meaning whether the mother is Tamei Aleda or not, eighth day circumcision, unlike Rav Asi. So Rav Asi is a Machlokes Tanoim. The Gemara goes on with a question. You'll notice this is a very long question, and the Gemara asks that on that, it raises the question that we alluded to before, and that is that when you see, when you look at things from Rav Chama's perspective, we see all cases, all the four possibilities that the source opened up with, two cases of Yilid Bayis and two cases of Miknas Kesef, two cases we mean a first day circumcision and an eighth day circumcision. So you'll have all four cases accounted for through Rav Chama. However, as far as the Tanakhama is concerned, we only saw three of the four cases. We did not see an example of Yelid bias Nimo Le'echot according to the Tanakhama. The Gemara. Bishlamo the Rav Chama Mishkachas lo Yelid bias Nimo Le'echot Yelid bias Nimo Lishmoine Miknas Kesef Nimo Le'echot Miknas Kesef Nimo Lishmoine. We find all four cases, and the Gemara now spells them out. Yolda, and we have a new numbering scheme here. We just went through 1 through 4, and now the numbers that we see will correspond to the numbers that we just presented. So the first, there was a 1 in a circle which featured Yilid Bayis Nimo Le'echod. Now we'll explain that case. Yolda V'achar Kachid Bila. And we have to add here, he bought a shivcha, he bought a slave woman, and she became impregnated under the Jewish auspices. She mated with a slave that this Jew owned. And after she gave birth, he immersed her. We said that was the shivcha conversion, the slave conversion. Zehu yulibay shni molechod. And as far as Rav Chama is concerned, that's an example of a woman who doesn't experience Tumas Leda, because only after her birth did she enter the realm of conversion. Before that, she's a heathen, and therefore there's no Tumas Leda. Number two corresponds to the circle number two, and that's the case of the Yelid Bayis Nimo L'Shmoina. What's that? Hit Bila V'Achar Kach Yolda. Once again, he bought a Shivcha and then became pregnant under Jewish auspices. And before giving birth, she was converted through tevilah, through immersion in the mikveh, converted to shivcha status. V'achar kach yolda, and then gave birth. Zehu yilid bayis sheni mo lishmoina. This woman, as we pointed out already a couple of times, she will have tumas leida, because before the birth she was already converted to shivcha status. We have a number four. This corresponds to the circle four of a miknas kesef nimo lishmoina. Miknas kesef nimo lishmoina kegoin. An example of that, or a case of that, is shelokach shivcha muberes. He purchased a woman who was already a shivcha, a slave woman who was already pregnant. Now the fact that she was already pregnant is, that makes it classified as a miknas kesef as opposed to a yelid bias. We mentioned at the outset that the term yelid bias indicates impregnation under the Jewish auspices. Here, she was already impregnated. He bought a shivcha muberes, v'hit bila. While she was still pregnant, she was immersed with this shivcha conversion. V'achar kach yolda, and then gave birth. So that's an eighth day circumcision case. Miknas kesef nimo le'echod kegoin, and the three here, this three corresponds to the three that was circled above. A miknas kesef first day circumcision kegoin shelokach ze shivcha v'ze ubra. One purchases a shivcha, and someone else purchases her offspring. Elo l'tanakama. The Tanakama, who made no distinction with regard to hitbila versus not lo hitbila. So bishlamo kulu mishkachas lehu. We found examples of all of three of the four cases. Elo yelid bayis nimo le'echod. That's the first case, that when we had a circled one by the Gemara, what said Bishlamo Rav Chama, that was the case of Yelid Bayis Nimo Le'echod. That case, we hechi mishkachas lo. We don't have in the realm of the Tanakhama an example of Yelid Bayis Nimo Le'echod. So how do you have that? Omar Reb Yirmiya, belokeach shivcha le'ubra. This is a special deal. A person goes to someone that owns a shifra, and he says, I'm not buying the mother. I'm buying the mother only with respect to her child. I'm buying the child that will be born. Rashi, four lines from the bottom, v'lokeach shifra liubra, v'afilu miyisrael, even if he's buying doing the purchase from a Jewish owner, dehavio tamei aleda, the mother will be tamei aleda, because she's already achieved shifra status. Shikvar tavla, nevertheless, lav dumya delochem, it's not like you, lav dumya delochem hu, hoil v'ein lo chelek b'imo, since he is not purchasing the mother whatsoever. He's making a purchase of the shifra only with regard to the vlad she produces. The Gemara continues. Ha nicha lemando amar kinyan peros lav ki kinyan aguv domi. This idea that the child will have a first day circumcision, even though it's a yelid bias, it will be considered a first day of circumcision on the first day. That's because that would fit in well to the scheme that says kinyan peros, that when you make a purchase of the peros, literally the fruits, that item that's produced, it's not viewed as if you have a holding a kinyan on the goof, on the, in this case, the mother, so that when you purchase the fruits you have no connection to the mother. Therefore we can say that it's not what the Gemara said, with what Rashi pointed out, it's not dumyo de lochem, it's considered it's not considered the term lochem. We should have pointed out is based on a pasuk, and Rashi quotes this where the pasuk says yimol lochem kol zohar, yimol lochem kol zohar, and that's a case of a birth that takes place in a Jewish household where the mother is part of that Jewish household. In this case, where you're buying the shifcha only with regard to ubra, and you're not buying the mother, so this is not like a birth in a Jewish household. Well, that fits in well to the opinion that holds kinyan peros, that when you buy the produce, it's as if you have no connection to the principal, to the goof, in this case the mother. Elo lamando amar kinyan peros ke kinyan aguf domi. And by the way, this is a very well-known principle throughout the Shas. It appears in many different mesichtas. These two opinions. Here we're dealing now with the opinion that kinyan peros, when you take ownership or you buy the rights to the fruit, it's considered kinyan haguf domi. It's as if you have a holding in the source, in the principle. My ikol lemeimar. Then how would you explain a first day circumcision? Omar Rav Misharshia, belokeach shivcha almenas shaloi laharbila. In a case where a person buys a shivcha with the intention of not subjecting her to conversion, to immersion, in that case, even if you hold kinyan peros kinyan haguf domi, but you don't have any intention to accept her into shifcha status, therefore the child that she produces will be circumcised on the first day, as Rashi says, three lines from the bottom, shelocha amanas shelo arbila de lo shaycho bo teras chiyuva de mitzvahs klal. The whole concept of mitzvah obligation has no relevance to her. De lav dumya de lochem hu, it's not like you. Avol l'tumas leida lo chayshinon. But as far as the issue of tumas leida, that is not of concern. We're dealing with the tanakama biyolda v'yachar kachibila. In the case of someone who bought a shifcha with the intention of subjecting her to tevila, even if the tevila takes place afterwards, after she gives birth, the tanakama says the circumcision will be on the eighth day, because he doesn't place any premium on the Tumas Leido aspect. And in the case of Yolda V'Achachit Bila, so in fact the mother is not Tumei Leido, and yet there will be an eighth day circumcision. We continue in the Gemara, but before doing so, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, Ad Shloshim Yoim Avlad Begeder Sofik Nefel. Until the child reaches 30 days of age, there is a doubt whether the child will live. Will be a Nefel is a term that might be loosely translated as a stillborn, but stillborn in English, generally speaking, implies something born dead. But in Halacha, we say that up till 30 days, the child is in a state of doubt as to whether it's considered something that will survive. So a child like that, and by the way, we have on the 30th day of a firstborn male, there is what's called Pidyon HaBen, the redemption. Because only at the 30th day do we know that, well, it survived, so this is something this is a child worthy of redemption, of Pidyon HaBen. But now, up till 30 days, though, it might not be something that's considered longevity. Heich mechalin alav as a Shabbos milah. How do we allow ourselves to do bris milah on the eighth day, which falls out on a Shabbos? After all, we had a drusha that we saw in our last year, orloso, and we said orloso vare v'lo orloso sofek. And when there's an element of doubt, so that's not Doiche Shabbos. Well, isn't this the case of doubt? And yet we say, as a matter of course, we say that an eighth day that falls out on a Shabbos, you do Bris Milah. The Gemara. Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Kol Shishoha, Shloishim Yoim Ba'odom Eino Nefel. That which lives in the case of a human birth 30 days, it's no longer considered a nafel. It leaves the realm of nafel, which is a situation of suffix, whether it will survive or not. Once it lives 30 days, it leaves that doubt. Shinemar ufduyoi miben chodesh tivdeh. Redeem it from 1 month of age onwards. From the fact that we wait till the 30th day, which is the passage of a month, it shows us he is a ben kayom, as Rashi says, something that will live and hence worthy of redemption. And continuing, Shmoinus Yomim Vema, this is coming off the opening of Kol Shishah, that which lives 8 days in the case of an animal, it's Eino Nefel, it's not viewed as a Nefel anymore, and it's going to be something that you could bring as a sacrifice. Shenemar, Miyom HaShemini V'Ol Yotzeh L'Korban V'Chulei, from its eighth day of life onwards, you can then bring it, it will be fit to be brought as a sacrifice. Prior to that, it's an element of doubt, and you can't bring something that's considered like dead as a sacrifice. Now, we infer, Ha'lo Shah, if it didn't reach 30 days, if it didn't last 30 days by a person, Sveifa Havi, it would be considered a Sufik. Maybe it is a Nefel. Continuing at the top of Kuf Lamed Vav, Mimal Hechi Mahalino Le. How then can we circumcise any child on a Shabbos when it's its eighth day? Omar Rav Ado Bar Ahava, Malin Oisoi Mimonavshach. We circumcise the child. Either way you look at things, im chai hu shapir ko mohil. If it lives, if it continues to live after 30 days, so then we see retroactively that it was a healthy child worthy of violating Shabbos for its milah. The im lav, and let's say it doesn't live beyond 30 days, and I cut its flesh on its eighth day. Mechatech bebosahu, it's considered like just cutting meat. It's not considered alive. It's like cutting slaughtered meat, so to speak. And it's not a problem of imposing a chabura, an injury, which otherwise is a Shabbos violation. The Gemara asks, Velaha desanya. We have our source that we saw before that said, Safek ben Shayin, Safek ben Shmoina, Ein Mechalin, Allah v'sa Shabbos. If you have a birth, and you don't know whether it was a 7-month birth or an 8-month birth. And we know that an 8-month birth, child born in its 8th month of pregnancy, won't survive. Child born in the 7th month of pregnancy will survive. If you have a doubt, so we don't violate Shabbos for its circumcision on its 8th day. Well, why should you not cut on Shabbos? Do a milah for this type of child. Why not? Nimalei mimonafshach. Circumcise him either way. Im chai hu. If it's a child that will live. In other words, if it was a 7-month pregnancy, shaper komoil, then you've done a good milah. V'im lav, and if it's an 8-month pregnancy, then you're saying it's a nefel. Then mechatech b'basu, it's like cutting mere flesh, like slaughtered meat, and it's not a chabura. Omar mar brei d'Ravina, ano v'rav Nechumi bar Zecharia targimna. Says I and Rav Nechumi explained, in fact, we will do a circumcision. Ah, the source says, "Ein mechalin of a Shabbos, lo nitzrucha ella lemachshirei mila v'aliba de Rebbe Eliezer." That only means that source is taught according to Rebbe Eliezer. We know in general, Rebbe Eliezer, with whom we opened up this perek, he says that you can violate Shabbos even for preparatory circumcision matters. For example, you can violate Shabbos to make a knife for circumcision. So, as far as machshirei mila are concerned, in the case of the safek, Rebbe Eliezer will not allow you to do to violate Shabbos for the machshirei mila. However, for the cutting itself, as we explained, mimonafshach, there is no problem. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.